Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 24.
I'm Jim.
And I'm Dale.
And we are those crazy Bible study guys.
Oh, man, I'm loving that intro. I don't even know what to say right now. I am smiling side to side. So I'm curious what's going on, bud. What's in your coffee today?
I'm just a little angry. I'm just angry, man. Today.
Angry, I'm telling you, man. See, I like how you feeling that rage. I'm over here feeling conviction, man.
Oh.
So, because I don't know if the listeners are picking it up, man. We're still rocking in Matthew chapter 5 and the Beatitudes and in the teachings on the Sermon on the Mount. And today, we're going to get a little rough and rowdy, man.
Yeah, I hope I can learn. I hope I can learn some today.
I just be prepared, everyone. Today's going to be a day of conviction, of probably some self-shame, especially for me. I'm really, really talking about myself right now. Lack of control. We're talking about anger. And
Will be good. This will be really good for me then.
I'm nervous because, man, I've had a lot of rage. When, you know, I have a lot of rage a lot, so... Oh, Lord, you're going to be speaking to me directly today.
Yeah, I have a feeling this one's going to just hit a little too close to home. So,
All right. Well, I think we might as well just jump right into it because... I would say one thing that we've done over the years, and it's just some days we feel like we're in a boxing ring when we're reading scripture, and it's good, you know, it's really good that sometimes you just kind of get pounded on to say, all right, I need to do better. And I think today, Jim's going to be a couple of KOs today. I think we're going to get punched a couple of times today.
Yeah,
which is good. It's good, right, to build your character. So
I definitely feel some humbleness in my future.
All right. Well, if you're following along with us, a super real fast recap. We're on the Mount, and Jesus just taught us about the law. And I'm going to be honest with everybody. We're going to get into some real stuff here. He's now talking about anger. I'm seeing headlines in the future. We're going to be talking about lust and vows and revenge, loving your enemies, divorce, needy, teaching about prayer. Like, we're going to go through it here, and it's all red letters. Jesus is talking directly to us, so which is good. It's what we need. We need this foundation. So, all right, let me open us in prayer. Then we'll be jumping to Matthew chapter 5, 21 through 26 will be what our focus is today. And we'll start. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this new day. Thank you for my brother Jim. I love how he came out, his voice today. And God, it's how it is, Lord. We struggle, especially in this day and age. It seems like everyone's got a chip on their shoulder. So, Lord, I know I'm guilty of it as well. I just pray that you'll help teach us about anger today, how we can learn to control ourselves, how we can learn to be a lot more like you today. So forgive us of all of our sins. Thank you for our wonderful families. Thank you for our friends. Thank you for those believers out there. We just ask and pray for your blessing, protection, and that your kingdom will continue to grow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right.
All right, man.
I'm sitting down, so.
I'm already thinking of dad joke. We've already beat around the bush enough. Let's just get into it. I mean, there's lots of angers here. So, all right. Matthew 5:21 starts out like this. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, actually, you know what, Jim? Let's just stop right there. Let's go to 21, 22. Let's stop right there because I the thing that hit me was raka. I'm assuming that's it means you fool, but I don't think I've ever gone up to somebody and go raka. So I'm curious. My mind started going down. Let's see what the footnotes might say on this or what your thoughts are.
No, I had to look too. That was my first thing there. But what does it say? Mine says an Aramaic term of contempt. So you want to maybe Google that one?
Yeah, yeah. Let's see what that is. Because, I mean, again, why would it be like that structure here?
So while you're looking that up, you know, he says, but anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fire of hell. So my initial, what's on my heart right now is that he's basically saying this is a heart matter again, right? Anger is something that just is something that can, if you go around angry all the time, you're not really heading in the right direction here with your faith, right? This is totally contradictory to love, right? Is anger. He's saying that's where you're in the danger of the fire of hell. Is like, it's like you do not have the right spirit here, man. And this is gonna, it's like a cancer, right, to your soul. Anger is, that's kind of what was said on my heart with that.
Man, you know, I like that. I mean, it's you're absolutely right. And even think of that perspective, it is the opposite of what love is, what we're called to be. And this is what I love about Jesus. You know, he's taking real scripture, real knowledge. You know, again, he's using the Ten Commandments at this point, and he's showcasing the next layer of the onion, right? He's saying, hey, you know, just because we say don't murder someone, yeah, obviously don't do that, but don't go around walking around getting angry at people, punching people and yelling and just cursing people. Like, that's not good either. And so, you know, he's definitely rolling down that. And I did find it, the Raca meaning, which is only found here, Matthew 5:22, and it says vain, empty, worthless. So the Jews used it as a word of contempt, which is what we found in our notes. It is derived from a root meaning to spit, which, again, I'm thinking of like that anger where you just downlook something so pathetically and you're spitting like, oh, you know, I guess this isn't worth me or my time or is it junk. And then when I saw that quotation, you know, a root word meaning to spit, I think of, you know, what they did to Christ, right? As he was being led up, where, you know, were they cursing at him, Raca? And that's deep, man.
Yeah, to spit on anyone is definitely a, you know, that's a low of lows, right?
Right.
For many reasons. But see, what's interesting is my version says the Sanhedrin are answerable to the Sanhedrin, but yours says to the courts, which makes more sense to me, and that must have been what the courts were, the Sanhedrin. But if this is contempt, then you put that together and you're in contempt of court, right? Which could, if you're in contempt of court today, you're going to get fined or jailed or what have you, so, or removed. So that's kind of a interesting combo there as well, too. So, all right. Yeah. So, in the footnote, I'm going to head to a footnote on that, if you don't mind. I'm going to break off to that really quick. When Jesus said, but I tell you, he was not doing away with the law or adding his own beliefs. Rather, he was giving a fuller understanding of why God made the law in the first place. For example, Moses said, you shall not murder. Jesus taught that we should not even become angry enough to murder. Okay, so anger would be a precursor to that, right? So, like the light bulb is going on here, right? He is talking about those, and I have a feeling we're going to see this theme throughout the rest of Matthew of, it's like thoughts, right? They start in your heart and your mind, and then that's the stepping stone to the next layer that leads to something severe here. So, I mean, I don't think anyone's going to murder someone and not be angry, right?
Right.
So, yeah. All right. Now, if I can find my place. All right. Jesus taught that we should not even become angry enough to murder, for then we've already committed murder in our heart. The Pharisees read this law, and not having literally murdered anyone, felt righteous. Yet they were angry enough with Jesus that they would soon plot his death. Though they would not do the dirty work themselves, we miss the intent of God's word when we read his rules for living without trying to understand why he made them. When do you keep God's rules but close your eyes to his intent?
That's a deep question.
Oh, man. The footnotes get a mic drop there.
Yeah, I mean, that's well written. And I mean, think about that. How many times, I mean, the Pharisees did this to Jesus. Think about how many times they did it to other people that were just annoying them, frustrating. And again, like you were saying, it all starts with that thought, you know, of, wow, this person's annoying me. Wow, this person's really annoying me. And then I hope something happens to this person so that I can stop annoying me. And then it just, that escalation gets to eventually to the point of murder where, yeah, whether you, I mean, again, they paid Judas, you know, they paid for, you know, in essence, a hitman to give them that pathway to do what they wanted to do. And I mean, again, it started with that motivation of the heart. They didn't like what he was saying. They knew it jeopardized their life. And yeah, so man, how many more people they do that kind of to? And yeah, it felt you're righteous in that moment. No way. It started with your heart, you know, and that anger, resentment.
Man, that like gives a whole new insight, like to the Ten Commandments or any of the laws, right, in the Old Testament. And I think, you know, Jesus knew that, right? They were getting legalistic, right? Like, hey, I'm not murdering. So I'm good, you know, I'm a good person.
Right.
And he's saying,
yeah, I'm not the one committing the action, but yeah.
But he's saying, yeah, but he's saying, hey, yeah, that anger in your heart and your soul, that's the same heart matter that person that murdered someone had as well too. So I love this one. When do you keep God's rules but close your eyes to his intent? So again, not going to the legalistic worldview, right, of a definition of murder, but getting to the heart matter that God wants. Kind of a resounding theme we've got going on.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be carrying forward, too.
Yeah, so
if this is hitting home, just be prepared. There's more to come.
Yeah, I mean, again, the simplicity of God's teaching, right? It's like, mm-hmm. that simple principle of the heart matter can go, that for you and I really has opened, in our Bible study, has really opened things up for us. So so take that one home, think about that, and I'm going to dive into the next section here that continues.
This one's going to touch, this is going to touch on what you thought already mentioned.
Yeah, killing is a terrible sin, but anger is a great sin too, because it also violates God's command to love. Anger, in this case, refers to a seething, brooding bitterness against someone. It is a dangerous emotion that always threatens to leap out of control, leading to violence, emotional hurt, increased mental stress, and spiritual damage. Anger keeps us from developing a spirit pleasing to God. Have you ever been proud that you didn't strike out and say what was really on your mind? Self-control is good, but Christ wants us to practice thought control as well. Jesus said that we'll be held accountable even for our attitudes.
Oh
boy.
Oh, yeah. So again, I want to be real with people, man. I mean, yeah, it's I fell, and yeah, my attitudes can definitely sway quickly, and yeah, that's man. I like that though. The self control, you know, up to a thought control, and again, you know, it's how Satan twists those little lies, you know. And we I don't know. I think about when we were kids. You know, I remember my mom would always say, you know, those old sayings like one little lie leads to big deception or something like that.
Yep.
You know, but again, it's that one little lie, and then somebody asks you about it, then you have to lie again, and then now your lie is out there in multiple ways, and maybe it just started off really small. Now it's a huge ordeal, and you're having to finally admit, and you're like, I'm so sorry, I lied, and how much more pain and sorrow that causes. It's the same way with anger. You know, those little lies Satan gets in there and being like, wow, your spouse didn't do this today. Or wow, your kid, didn't give his best today. And then so you start to think like, why are they not? Why are they not holding up like to me and in my attitude and my thoughts? And then you start to spiral into these negative perspectives. And it's a poison. It's a poison that goes inside of your mind, body, and it zaps your strength. It zaps your mental wellness. And then yeah, next thing you know, you start lashing out, saying things that you typically wouldn't say to your loved ones or to really close friends. And yeah, and again, if you allow that continued thought, you eventually get to more dangerous places. And whether you say, you know what, I'm done with this relationship, or I don't want to be in your life, or eventually it spirals really fast if you don't learn to control the thoughts.
Man, that's so powerful.
It really is.
Yeah,
Man.
it's just that little thought that can just, and I mean, I commend anyone out there if you haven't been in that situation, but I've got to believe that all of us have been there, right? Like, you got to have that one person at least in your life that has gotten on your nerves, and then they do something, and then you're just like, and then they commit something against you, and your anger is, is H-E double
I think
toothpicks,
tying it to what we know too, like, and again, I mean, I'm not gonna advocate. I know some people like it, some people don't, but I think of the movie from Disney's Pixar, this movie called Inside, I think it's called Inside Out. It's about, basically about like these emotions inside of your mind. And one is anger. They list him as
Oh,
anger. He's this
yeah.
short, stubby, redhead or red, reddish looking character. And when he gets mad, you start to see steam going off the top of his head. And when he really gets mad, his head just ignites in fire. And like, obviously, like in part in the movie, they utilize that opportunity of how hot head he can get. And I think it was a really good perspective and viewpoint of how anger can be. And it's like within us, like we get to this point of just absolute rage and fire and destruction. And well, what do we know about fire and destruction? It's not good. It's going to burn something down. Yeah, definitely learning how to control that emotion, that feeling, it's powerful.
Yeah.
And hey, Jesus gives us a therefore. We talked a little bit about that in the last episode. So, three foot stomps, boom, boom, boom here. If you want to check this out, Jim.
All right. Let's do
So
it.
there, yeah. So Matthew 5:23 says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there, remember that your brother or sister has something against you. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. All right. And I think for me, that sums up that therefore action is goes back to everything you've always said, heart matter, check your heart. And don't be offering God, oh Lord, thank you for everything done, and and here's all of these wonderful things I'm doing for you, but over here you're just completely just enrage with people, and you've yelled at people or mean to people. Like, clean the house, right? Clean the house up for the host. Do the right things as you come and bring that gift to him.
Yeah, and it's not easy, but when that's the amazing thing of forgiveness, like you'll see it, like I mean, you see the ultimate level of forgiveness sometimes, like if you're seeing some court TV or something like that, where I don't know if this level's on court TV, but anyways, you'll see a big trial, right? And then you'll see the victim's family's closing statement, and they indicate that they've forgiven someone for something extremely awful that's been committed against someone that they love dearly, you know, and God knows when we do that, it frees our heart and gets us to that place where we can come to the altar versus, and it's so distracting, right? I mean, when we get something like that on our mind, it's like it consumes us, right? And we can't, it like how can you really fully, you know, spend time with God and focus on that or anything else for that matter, when that just starts to consume your thoughts and your minds and your actions and what you're doing.
I was thinking too, and again, you know, I want to be sensitive to everyone out there. We know every situation is going to obviously be different. There's going to be some really challenging moments, like you were just mentioning about, like, I mean, again, someone you love lost their life because of some evil act, and, you know, and it's hard for that forgiveness. And, you know, and there's also these little bitty things of, you know, just matters that just never got settled. And so I do want to at least be sensitive to that. But I really look at verse 25, settle matters quickly. And, you know, and obviously he does talk about that next level of going to court and things, but I swear, I don't know where it is. Don't, you know, hold Dale accountable to this quote, but I remember hearing at least someone or reading it somewhere that like 90% of our arguments are just off of things that just don't matter. It's simple things such as, again, I came home, I was hoping the dishes were done and they're not, and the house still looks like a wreck. And then again, that spiral of thoughts of negativity towards your loved one can go down. Or again, simple thoughts of, you know, I hit every red light today getting to work, and my day just started off really bad. And then again, you just start to lash out. They always say you'll lash out to the people closest to you because you have more security, more open vulnerabilities with those individuals. But again, majority of the arguments with loved ones or friends start off with just silly things, silly, non-really matterable issues. And yeah, they can be important. They can be something you kind of wish somebody did it. But in the end, like in the grand scheme, it's not a big deal. We just took a small, you know, peanut and made it into a mountain in the end. And that's why I just remember hearing that and seeing that like 90% of arguments. So I will always think too, like if ever I'm in that situation and, you know, I'm just kind of just having a rough day and a little thing sets me off, I will at least, you know, and unfortunately, I always don't hold my mouth and control my tongue. And, you know, I'll be like, hey, blah, 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 blah. And then, of course, an argument starts. And then I will ask myself, was that really worth it? Is this the hill to die on kind of a thing? And majority of the time, it's not. It's just me being, you know, a perfectionist or, you know, or something where it's like, yeah, I can see I screwed that one up. And you just got to learn to let go and be like, it's not worth it. I don't want to hurt my spouse. I don't want to hurt, you know, a friend because of something so petty in the end.
Yep.
And that's where I think of that settle matters quickly. So I will go up and instantly say, look, I'm sorry. And even if I don't agree, you know what? I'm sorry. It's just not worth the time. It's just not worth us fighting about. And so, you know, we can learn to agree to disagree. But let's move on. Let's not let this hold us down. And it's really important. Yeah. I don't know why.
I think that's really powerful. The 90%. I'm going to just really quickly be very vulnerable here and share a very embarrassing, but moment of anger that I had that, and you'll hear how ridiculous it is. So my kids were really little, and back when they were little, Barney the dinosaur was really big. And he was coming into town live, and we had a couple tickets to go see Barney. And it was about 3 p.m. And I think it started at 2:00. And all of a sudden I realized, oh my goodness, we missed Barney. And I just lit up, and I ended up punching the closet door and putting us, you know, those interior doors are pretty small. I'm not that strong enough. Yeah. Oh, my kids have given me so much grief over the years about that, but rightfully so. How ridiculous. I mean, I was really angry because we missed it and all that money I'd spent, and, you know, but yeah, man, don't let Barney be the source of your anger. Yeah. No, yeah. Don't let Barney be it.
Oh man, trust me. Yeah, I think we could do probably 20 million podcasts with just the stupidity things that I've done out there. It's like,
all right.
I think of what that one apostle or disciple he wrote out. He's like, look, there's just not enough books in the world to write all the things that Jesus did, you know, for the world. And I'm over here like, there's not enough books for all the wrongs that I've done.
Yeah. Oh shoot. All right. Well, I'm sure now the rest of the world knows about that. It's a mild moment.
All right. It's okay to be sensitive about Barney.
No one would have thought Barney would do that, but you know, the dark side of Barney. All right. I'm going to hit the footnotes real quick on the therefore to the end. It says broken relationships can hinder our relationship with God. If we have a problem or grievance with a friend, we should resolve the problem as soon as possible. We are hypocrites if we claim to love God while we hate others. Our attitudes towards others reflect our relationship with God. And then it goes on to say, in Jesus' day, someone who couldn't pay a debt was thrown into prison until the debt was paid. Oh my goodness. Our prisons would be jam-packed today.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Unless someone came to pay the debt for the prisoner. Interesting. He or she would probably die there. Wow. It is practical advice to resolve our differences with our enemies before their anger causes more trouble. You may not get into a disagreement that takes you to court, but even small conflicts mend more easily if you try to make peace right away. Okay, so right away keeps it from brewing, right? Getting to that point of steaming up. In a broader sense, these verses advise us to get things right with our brothers and sisters before we have to stand before God. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, remember to let it go and to love your loved ones.
Yeah.
That's ultimately what it's saying there.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. All right. Father God, thank you for the study. Thank you for the reminder of the ridiculous moments. To Dale's point, 90% of anger and arguments just are just unnecessary. It's because of our selfishness to not want to be wrong, Lord. And it's embarrassing, but please help us to exercise forgiveness in our life daily. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, man.
Well, we can all agree, we all get angry, but it's allowing how far you want that to go. So choose to do the right thing, settle those matters easy and quickly. Until next time, enjoy the gift of today. Thank you.